Good evening. My name is Pastor Russ Smith. I'm here with Pastor Ariel Herrivo and his wife, Yurina. We are so happy to have you both with us today. Today, we're going to be talking about something that isn't really discussed in churches a lot. In fact, right before we got on tonight, you had been telling me that every year, it sounds like, you have this conversation with your church.
Not every year, but sometimes. In special occasions, last year was our son's fifth birthday, and we had something.
Okay.
But we had
so on a regular basis, whatever, when the need arises, just to inform your church as a pastor, you have three boys. Mm-hmm. Your oldest son is a senior at our school this year, graduating. How do you feel about that, Irina? Your son moving on to college.
Exciting for him, but scared as well, because we're still praying and looking to see what God wants him to do.
I think that many parents can sympathize with that. Excited and a little scared, right? And so your oldest son is a senior. Your youngest is just turning six.
He's going to turn six this week.
This week. Mm-hmm. And the reason we're having this conversation tonight is we want to have a biblical conversation about children with special needs. And this is not an area that I am well informed in, and I am really excited to be better informed in this area. And this is not a conversation for just those who have children that are special needs, but if you have a child in your life, maybe going to a school, maybe they might be a teacher of a child who has special needs, maybe they have a relative, niece or nephew, mm-hmm. with special needs. And so there's a lot of us that probably know families. But I find that oftentimes ignorance, although can be bliss, it's not always the case. And sometimes ignorance actually just causes an uncertainty, an uncomfortableness. We're not sure what to do, so we kind of do nothing. And I'm hoping that tonight's conversation will eliminate the ignorance and therefore allow people to be more involved in the lives of those who we might refer to as special needs, especially special needs children. So I love it. So you guys brought me a sheet here, has an outline, and at the top it says definition of special needs, our family, story and experience, challenges and blessings. So I'd like to start by, Ariel, if you don't mind, just giving us the definition, your family's definition and your experience of a child with special needs. Again, your own turning six would fit this category. And then, Yurina, I would love for you to tell us your family story and the experience that you've had after that. So, Ariel, if you don't mind, go ahead and start off with the definition.
I will tell you that I do mind.
You do mind. Well,
yes, but I will explain that. I would like to welcome you for this wonderful opportunity that we have to be here to talk about this issue as we face it as a family, my wife and I. For the past 6 years, we were not planning, and I don't think anyone is planning to do so, but the Lord did prepare us for this experience and journey that we have had. The reason why I said I do mind, she is well better qualified than me to talk about the definition. She's a nurse. And
so let's switch this. All right, Yurina, you're going to talk about the definition.
Sure.
And then Ariel, you're going to tell us the history. I can adapt, guys. I'm good with that. It doesn't bother me.
Well,
go ahead, Yurina.
As we know, special needs, it's like a broad range. It's not really, you can point and say, oh, this is a special need kid, or this is not. We know about some of them have some chromosomal defects. Some of
you
them
say chromosomal? Yep.
Chromosome.
Yeah, chromosome. Yep, okay.
And some other one is just, now we heard a lot about autism, about like allergies and other things that come in place. And sometimes people don't even think how this can affect the kids. Learning ability and the way they function in society. So it's really a wide range.
Yes.
And we cannot really, until nowadays, I took that definition from actually online about special needs children, but even when you read that definition, it's still so vague that you're really not sure about
it. I never thought that a child with food allergies would be under special needs, but you're telling me that's under the definition found. What website would include a child with food allergies under special needs?
It depends, because some of them, if the allergy is so severe that they always have to be have an EpiPen.
So maybe they're or even can't go out very
they
much. They have to
go
stay
out
at home
sometime
often.
Sometimes just dust. They are allergic.
Interesting.
To
Interesting. I've always myself considered special needs more of the the social and academic side than I have the health side. But that's interesting that that a lot of families with kids with health, I mean, they're children that are needy as well and need to be addressed on a very serious level for some children.
Yes, and that's why the teachers and school nurses and everyone put together, whenever you have this type of kids, you have to have a plan, like a care plan for those kids.
Sure.
And with the doctors, if they need, if you need to start just with plain medicine like Benadryl, or if you actually need something more.
Now tell us, your husband's going to give us the history of your family, but what category would your son be under, your five-year-old boy, under this special needs, more specifically?
He's mostly in the disability part because he was born with trisomy 21. And he has a type they call mosaic, trisomy 21, where all of us here have 23 chromosomes in our cells, the little cells.
23 chromosomes,
Yeah. So on his 21, it's repeated. But for kids that have a full-blown Down syndrome, they have it on all their cells. But for our son, his case is a little different. He has what they call mosaic Down syndrome. So you can... Actually, I bought a picture of him, but it's somewhere. You can, some people will look at him and say, no, he doesn't look like a kid with Down syndrome.
Right.
And because he doesn't have all the features.
Sure.
But then when they stay for a while with him and talk and see where he's at, they can definitely say, okay, yes, he does have learning disability, speech, feeding disability. And he, I would say he's mostly in the upper spectrum. So meaning until now, we're not sure. We're just working with him and believing God will use him.
Amen.
And that's why, I guess, if you see the lower part of this.
I'm looking forward to having the conversation you're bringing about the lower part.
That's,
as a pastor, I'm saying, wow, you got a plan here. You got year one.
Yes.
Two, three, year five,
yes.
Up to year five of just the things you've been through, and I'm excited to get to that. But before we do, Pastor Ariel, why don't you tell us about your family story? So you had two children, both very, very bright boys, by the way. Both your sons, Sebastian and Andel, are extremely bright boys. And then God decided to bless you with your third son and probably didn't see that coming. Was it a planned pregnancy? Were you planning on even having the third child?
It was not.
No.
We still call him a vacation baby.
A vacation baby. Got to watch out for those vacations. All right, then. So tell us your story.
What about our story? Let me say that we are originally from Haiti, and my mother died in 2013, and we decided to go to Haiti and see my brother, who was not part of the funeral. And on our way back, when we landed in Florida, my wife was not feeling well. And we said in our mind, maybe it is some food that she ate there. And we kept asking questions.
A baby.
And in the process, we realized that it was not food-related.
Yeah.
It was that baby who was there. And we gave thanks to the Lord for him. But
sure.
Let me go back a few years to say what has happened. We would say first that God has prepared us for this
Amen.
Child.
Amen.
We were part of a church in Stratford. I was a youth pastor, and my wife helped in many different areas with the kids, Sunday school. And while we were there, we saw three different families who had children with special needs. And there was nothing done to join them, to invite them, or to show certain sympathy to what they were facing. Somehow, it's like if they came, if I want to put it this way, with issues, with kids, children with issues, and they would sit with their children, no one would acknowledge, because they face a lot of challenges, which we are going to talk about later.
Sure.
And they would be by themselves, and sometimes they cannot, if the children are noisy, that would make them, put them in a certain corner by themselves.
A little uncomfortable, it's probably
exactly,
for their families
exactly.
as well. Exactly. Yeah.
And there are other issues in the sense that those parents, one of them more specifically, was in denial of the fact that the child had issues, and that parent would always show the mothers more specifically would be on the defensive side to show that my child is perfect.
Sure.
Without
By the way, a child with special needs doesn't negate the fact that they are just as much as God's children and as anyone else.
Exactly.
Or just as loved by God as anyone else.
And that is what we will come to as we think about our story. But my wife specifically sympathized and reached out to them and created a ministry for those parents and the mothers, more specifically.
You had your third
child. About maybe 5 years.
You
five
were
to
already,
six years.
God had already laid on your heart
yes.
the desire to work with families who weren't receiving care.
Yes.
Exactly.
A church.
Yes.
And I was not part of that. Probably she could say more about that. But it was our introduction to that. Culturally, I would say in certain cultures, people not accept a child with special need. But I could say, personally, it's not cultural. It is all cultures. It was not dependent on one culture specifically. All cultures, if we don't know it, we are ignorant, so we stay away from it. But we advanced, and I think it was a great support to that family. So that was before. What happened during the pregnancy?
Okay. So, found out I was pregnant, just came back from that vacation, and even though I was sick, I was a little excited because he always wanted a girl. So
I was the only one wanting a girl.
Oh, your two boys like, yeah, we don't need a girl, Dad.
Sometimes we get dressed like girls with pink shirts for Mother's Day or any other circumstance. But.
So, I went to see my doctor, and everything was done, and I was at work. I can remember that. And I took my lunch break, and my cell phone, I got a message from my midwife, because I was seeing midwife and OBGYN doctor. And she said, could you please call me as soon as possible to get that message? And something is wrong.
That's not what you want to hear from your doctor.
It was around lunchtime. I can remember that. And I went and called her. And the first thing she said, oh, the blood work you did revealed something maybe abnormal with the baby. Would you like to keep the baby?
Wow.
That was the first question.
Wow.
And I didn't even have my lunch. And I said, excuse me? I said, yes, even though I would know what's going on with him. Yes, yes. And she's like, okay, we still need to make an appointment to come and see me, and we'll talk about it and make some referrals. I said, no problem. So I went home, shared that with him. We pray about it, and we said, we're not going to find out what's going on. And God bless us. We, as I said, the funny thing is, as my husband can say, I like to get things in order. This is me.
Get to plan things out, huh?
And for the first two boys, everything was like, you know, did all my physical, did everything on time. So I was ready to get to have that baby. But for this one, as I said, we were not preparing. It was just a vacation.
So you just continued that philosophy all the way through.
And so we were referred to a genetic specialist at Bridgeport Hospital who try to drill both of us, explaining all the consequences, and we have to do more tests, amniocentesis, to check actually exactly what the baby has.
Sure.
And I'm like, we are not going for this. We are against this. We believe all children are from the Lord.
So they were trying to convince you to abort the baby.
Yes.
Every time you talked to a specialist, the conversation was abort the baby.
Yes.
So specialists whose job it is to work with people who have these children, their first instinct is these children don't deserve life.
They don't.
Of anyone, these are the guys and girls who should know better. That's their job to work with them, and they're the ones who are trying to say, don't give the baby life.
Yes. And it was so
what
sad.
What a shame.
It was so sad because we were very, every January in the previous church, we were sanctity of life. We promote that with the families, especially when I was helping those three families at church. And so now for us to be facing that part. And so we kept saying no, no, no to everything. And finally, my OB said, why don't you do echocardiogram? That's when they check the heart of the baby in your belly to make sure if there's any abnormalities so they can take care of it when the baby's born.
Mm.
So I talked to him. I said, that's not invasive. I'll do it. You know, it's just we can find out in advance. And so that's what we did. They did find there's a little hole. They were not sure what it was, but they said they are not too concerned about it. It seems it can, you know, because the baby was still forming inside of me. And that same Jewish guy, I had him for, I told him God kept him here for all my babies. He delivered all three boys. And then after the last one, he decided to return to Israel. So I said, God sent you here for me.
Just for you, Yamina.
Just for me. So he explained to us, he said, one of his children had, they had concern the same way for my baby, and but the baby was fine. So we kept believing, we kept praying.
Before you go, how many babies do you think, I mean, probably unknown numbers of babies who've been aborted because doctors have said your baby might have an issue when these babies, whether they did or did not, again, God loves them, but how many babies would be born with no special need issues and yet aborted because a doctor was concerned?
I would like to pitch in here to say something. I remember one time my wife and I, we were in our cars and we were listening to Focus on Family, and that doctor was sharing her own experience. She had a child with certain needs. I mean, I don't remember what it was. And while she child was at hospital, she is a medical doctor herself, and she wanted to do some tests to know more about that situation. And the medical staff said that we don't want to do the test. She said, I am paying with my own insurance, and I want to know. They say no. She had to leave the state where she was and go to a different state just to have the test done. Mm-hmm. It is how much people are against life in our country.
You know, God's word, as you know, in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 1, verse 5, says, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Mm-hmm. Speaking, of course, to Jeremiah specifically, but the philosophy, the idea is God knows every child before they're formed, as they're formed. And Ariel, it must break your heart. It sure breaks my heart to be thinking of Christians who trust a doctor's opinion over God's promise of I've got a plan for this child.
Absolutely.
Special needs or not, God doesn't do things without a reason. There is a reason for everything that God does. And we find in the Gospels, if remember specifically in the book of John, chapter 9, verses 1 through 3, they're walking by a man who was blind, and his disciples said, hey, you know, look at this blind man. Whose fault was this blind man? Was it the parents? Did they do something wrong that he would be born without eyesight? And you know, because who would want to be born without eyesight, right? What a horrible thing. And what did Jesus Christ say? No, he was born purposefully blind so that God could be glorified. God has a plan.
Exactly. And I think that other passage, while we were preparing for that, we thought of that passage in this third section where we wanted to talk about our blessing. And we wanted to title this our child a blessing in disguise, because we don't know still yet. Actually, we have some glimpse of what this blessing can be. Our boy who was going to be six at five and
on the 19th.
Well, that truly is right around the corner.
Yes,
there, yeah.
And before I forgot, October is Down Syndrome Awareness.
I saw that. Yes. Yeah. And I'm really glad we were able to work this out for this month, because it is Down Syndrome Awareness Month. Yeah.
What some of the things that we have seen in him is his ability to sing. I mean, he loves singing. Our two boys, two older boys, they play. One play piano and the organ at the church, and the second one violin and piano as well. But he likes to sing. Whenever they are playing, he wants to actually go around and play the instrument as well. But singing, I don't know how many songs he knows by heart.
Wow.
The other ones would not go around and sing, but many times he would come with a song. He would be right on target. And when people are singing in church, many times he would, at the right time, says, amen.
Really? At 5 years old, almost six.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Ariel, you mentioned the blessings, and I'm looking forward to hearing the blessings. But before you get to that, you mentioned the challenges in the outline you gave me of your family story. Challenges as a pastor, as a father, as a husband. Challenges. You have financial challenges you mentioned here. Challenges with your other children. You know, the siblings. The challenges between the siblings. Can you kind of give us the details, just so families who don't have children with special needs can sympathize a little better for those who do. The Bible tells us in the book of 2 Corinthians, about how God allows us to go through tribulations in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, so that we can comfort others who've gone through similar. Mm. Not to say that a child with special needs is tribulations in a sinful sense, but tribulations can overall just mean hardships. It's hardships.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Having children is hard no matter what their needs are. Yeah. They all are needy. But God allows us to go through hardships so we can encourage others. And I'd love to hear the encouragement you have on the hard side. We'll let your wife give us the blessing side. If you can tell us the hardship sides of having a child with special needs.
The normal trajectory of a child's life, I mean, the parents, fathers and mothers, are expecting to have a child, and although they don't always put that in their mind, I'm going to have this blessing, this bundle of joy, for about 18 years. Prepare them, and we have thought a lot about this.
Personally, leaving.
Yes, exactly.
6-8 months.
And so we have this child, and we prepare him like an arrow, Psalm 127.
Yes. Yep.
We prepare that arrow, and then we throw them, and we don't know where they are going to land. But in the case of a child with Down syndrome, it is a different scenario.
Sure.
Because we have that child. He comes in, I mean, packaged differently than the others.
Sure.
The burden that we have, I mean, from birth, with all the appointments, with doctor's appointments, after he has been born, for heart conditions. Sometimes right after the child is born, they have to operate on him to solve the problem. In his case, they did not. We followed doctors for 2 or 3 years. Our son, until today, he is going to be 6, cannot chew. He does not chew. Mm. We have to
blend every food
that we have to give him. Any little trial to give him something, we tried many times, but he would choke on it.
Mm.
Even water, drinking water for the past 4.5 years, drinking water was a challenge for him. They had to add something to thicken the water so that he would not choke on it. And he was getting sick all throughout winter from, I think, October to about May, being sick. So all throughout that season, all kinds of medical appointment at Yale. And actually, I remember one simple thing that they were supposed to do, and the doctor decided, okay, we can do it in our practice for him, but he almost died. And my wife was not there. I thought it was simple. I could be there and with him. But it was a very complicated, because physically a child's Down syndrome is completely different than the others. So all these are challenges. So that put a lot of pressure on our relationship.
Yeah.
On our relationship. If I want to go back one step, something I skipped, when the medical staff wanted to announce to us, mainly to my wife, because she was the only one in the room, that we had a child with Down syndrome. I remember she was at Norwalk Hospital. And when they realized that, they said, a child with trisomy 21 or Down syndrome, and for us it was like, yes, it's a blessing from God. And they thought that we were in La La Land. We didn't understand what was going on.
I see.
And she went to her and said, it seems the staff said to me, you don't understand what is going on.
Like maybe they thought there's a language barrier, or
exactly.
You didn't know what they were talking about.
They said the child had trisomy 21 is Down syndrome.
Yeah.
And so it's like they wanted to.
Aren't you a nurse?
She is a nurse.
Did they know that your wife is a nurse?
I'm not. Those who brag, I'm a nurse. So he didn't know.
They didn't know you were a nurse.
Know.
I see. Okay.
But the way they saw us reacting, because we were praying and preparing.
Not the way they normally see parents react when they get the
we
news.
We had another family, a mother at the same time with when I had my son. The baby was born with what they call transverse, like all the organs on the left were on the right.
Mm.
So that baby was in the NICU as well as with my son. So that mother would come every day and scream and bang on stuff.
Mm.
So they're looking at us like, oh, they are humming.
Isn't that amazing testimony, though, of God's peace in our lives when we know that God's in control?
Yes, yes. And
that's awesome.
That doctor actually came. No, he came and explained to me, don't you know, it's only how many percentage of those kids that are alive because they cost so much, and he did a lot of things that...
Were they just trying to scare you still?
Scare us and to put us down as well. I mean, the way we
reacted... Trying to encourage you and give you information, and trying to scare you into an abortion.
Yes, yeah. No, that was after the baby was born.
Oh, it's after the baby.
They're still talking about
it. Still.
Yeah, because we didn't get it. That's what they
said. What are they expecting you to do after the baby's born? I mean, what are
we should be in shock and be crying, or I mean, take the child.
So because the world doesn't see you acting the way they do, they're scared.
Yes. Exactly.
The doctors are really scared that you guys, something's wrong with you because you're reacting with peace.
Something wrong with us. So we did not. Go ahead.
The Lord put something in my mind, something to tell him, and I said, I have no idea why God gave me that child, but I do believe he chose special parents to take care of special need kids.
Chose special parents.
And that's he awesome. Just like, his face, his demeanor, everything just dropped, and he's like, yes, ma'am. So, and he apologized.
You know, with the parent, I have known some families with special needs, and I will tell you what, they truly are some special parents, whether it's the adopted parent. Mm-hmm. In some cases, it's a grandparent who's taken the special needs child because the parents walked out. Mm-hmm. And when I say parent, as I'm sure you do, we don't necessarily mean birth parent. Mm-hmm. Whatever parent Absolutely. God has given that child mm-hmm. is a truly special person mm-hmm. to love a special needs child the way they deserve to be loved.
I was going to say also that this has a lot of pressure on the relationship between husband and wife, because in many cases when they have situations like that, one of them in some cases is not ready to face that, and they say, that's your child, my child cannot be born mentally. One of them cannot accept the child to be born with a special need, and because of this some have gone through divorce because of that, and the other parent would carry the whole burden and the guilt of having a child with special need. Also, it is a lot of pressure for the kids as well, the other children, because now they have to alter their different way of living, their way of living to a different lifestyle. I mean, you have to give more attention to that child, and they have to pitch in to do certain things for that child as well, because it is not the normal course that they have followed. And some of them are jealous about how much time, the attention we give to that other child. So all these are factors that come in. And we could add also parents, grandparents who think that, it is my grandchild is not perfect the way I want it. And we had to accept, I mean, do some take some time to talk to them.
That a lot of people just need to change their definition about expectations.
Absolutely.
Children are children, regardless of needs. They are children, and they are God's children before they are our children.
Amen.
If we would just see children through God's eyes, are there still hard times? Yes, for 2 Corinthians, right? But God allows those hard times for a reason, and God doesn't love these children any less.
Yes.
But there are blessings. Not just hardships, there are blessings. And you're going to tell us some of the blessings of having a family with a special needs child.
The first one I would say, as he mentioned, God prepared us in a certain way. So I had the baby on Sunday night, and the following Sunday I told him, because he was still in the NICU, so I was still home, please go and share the church family that we've been blessed with a child with special needs, because many...
I like how you put it that way.
Yes.
Tell the church family we've been blessed with a child with special needs. It's not something everyone needs to hang their heads and mourn over. It's a time of joy if a child is being born.
And
although it was not taken.
It was just like, what happened? The first week everyone was calling, people were coming to visit. Right after he said that, it's like everyone just stay away from us. And I asked him, I said, we don't have a death in our family. We just have a brand new child. And we are. So my thing is, you have to lead the way as parents, as special needs parents. It's hard at times, but if you show families or you show your congregation or friends how you're sad, you're crying about it. So people are going to be staying away from you. So we open up.
Amen.
We didn't leave it like, this is something bad that happened. We said, this is a blessing, and we know God will take care of it. So that was the first thing. So relationship-wise, we tried to, for both of us, we did have some, especially when we get to the finances part, it was hard because I wasn't working during, I was in maternity leave. And we, actually reach out to Focus on Family.
Mm-hmm. Did you really?
We did.
I called them and to ask what they know and what is available for parents with special need. And we had a session with them, and they helped us.
More than one. Mm-hmm. We had a lady.
Can you give us some of the advice they gave you folks with families, some of the things that are available, resources?
They still have them on the website.
On the website. So
on the website. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you have a link?
Focus on Family.
Yes.
Yeah. You can. I mean, they want to talk to you personally, so you call and they are willing to.
They know what the
pressure on parents, so they are willing to talk to you and let you know about what is available, how we can encourage parents with special needs.
And we will tag that link on our Facebook page after this roundtable. We'll find that link, put it on our Facebook page for parents who maybe aren't sure where to navigate this. We'll put it available for them.
Let me, I was talking about the blessings. I remember something happened about the sixth week after Asaf was born. We never said his name. It is Asaf Haribo. Actually, the name was chosen by my wife. He was called after the music leader of David.
King David.
Yes, you find him being mentioned in the Psalms.
Asaf, yeah. He wrote Psalm 50 and Psalm 73 to 83. Mm-hmm. And he was the worship leader.
It's interesting your son loves to sing now. Yeah. Look
does.
At that.
He does. All right. He does. So when he was born, on the sixth week, I remember, I know some people say, oh, we should not do that. We were sleeping in our bed, and it is a little bit high, and he was in the middle of our bed and between the two of us. We don't roll. So he was there, sleeping in the middle. In the middle of the night, suddenly my wife woke up and said, where is the baby? And I said, what are you talking about? I didn't say it like that. I said, where is the baby? Was here. So where is he? So
I was holding him, and I fell asleep. Either I don't know if I put him on this side or the other side, so I woke up panicking. Yes. I couldn't find him.
So I went on the other side of the bed and found the little one, 6 weeks old, on the floor, and he was like that, his head on his arm, where he could hit drawers or something else. And for me, that was the first sign of God telling me, don't worry about this child. I will take care of him. Because, I mean, the thing is, after 6 weeks, we should see some bruises. We should see some black spot from him. He should be crying. We didn't see any of these things. It is as if an angel. And that's what
I said. Doesn't God tell us that angels watch
over
children?
And that's what I said then, and I continue to believe now. An angel took him and laid him on the floor, letting us know that there is an angel watching over him. Don't worry. And sometimes even today when we are facing big challenges, I know that God is in control of his life.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, so don't be afraid to look for help. It can be a pastor. It can be someone you can trust. And since we are in ministry and we didn't know any other couples dealing with a kid like this, so we called Focus on Family, and we had some session with them. Actually, that lady, her child was like an adult when she was talking to us. Mm-hmm. So she gave us plenty of advice.
So she'd already been through the initial stages of a child with special needs.
Yes, and I think the first few sessions are for free, and if you need more in-depth, session, then I don't know.
And this was a phone? Over the phone?
Over the phone. Yeah. We did a three-way phone.
Yeah.
And the other, mainly the factor, she said, continue to pray. Pray together. Pray over him and leave everything to God.
And the people that I've known with children with special needs, a lot of them, it just seems like the child is almost in a constant state of happiness. These children with special needs just, it's the love, the level of love they have for their older brothers and sisters, for their younger brothers and sisters, for babies in general, for parents. Mm-hmm. It just seems like a never ending. I'm not saying they don't have their times of anger and sadness and they get upset like all children do. But I knew a family, this was back in Virginia, who had a child with special needs. He was involved in a children's ministry, and it was actually the Iwana program, and they would, or the Master Club, excuse me, the Master Club's program, and they would come to the Master Club competitions, and his son would always come, and he was everyone's best friend. You'd meet him, and right away, he's your best friend. And the guy had, the boy did not have any enemies. And this boy was a teenager by that point. Yeah. But you could just tell that this boy was loved by his family, loved by people. Mm-hmm. And he just was a conduit of love in return.
And we have seen that in the life of Asaph. He loves everyone. You mentioned temper tantrum or anything that would show up in the life of a child. We have not seen that, actually.
Really? Praise the Lord for that.
What we see is the fact that many times he does things that are innocent from his point of view, but that may be damaging for him or others. And we have to be on the lookout because he does. It's like if he is living in a time of innocence, and he doesn't
constantly.
Exactly, and it is our duty to keep watching over him to make sure that he is safe where he is, and he's loved by us. And we would not. I mean, I was thinking about preparing for that, what our lives would be without him, and we would miss a lot.
Mm. Amen.
Yeah.
We are getting past the halfway mark, and I really want to get into these 5 years, Irina, that you have marked here. Mm-hmm. Of course, this is your personal story of 5 years. It's not necessarily what every family would go through for the first 5 years, but I would love to kind of go back and forth and hear the different years from you folks. So, Irina, if you could give me the first year, you tag it as uncertainty.
Yes, year one, uncertainty, because we were not sure. We said we were prepared, but when you're in the actual phase, you have all those, how do I explain it? It's,
Probably didn't help with all these doctors were
that's what
scaring
I wanted
you all
to
the
say.
Time, right? And throwing uncertainties in your mind that didn't need to be there.
And,
so filling, I think right away, advice would be fill your mind with God's word and truth, not with the naysayers who don't see things the way God sees them.
A lot of singing. And I put that song because God gave me the second verse.
Amen.
How sweet to hold a newborn baby, and
know the joy and pride he gives or something.
He
like
gives
that.
Us because these kids will face. Because he lives, these kids can face tomorrow. So that the first year God gave me that that song.
And you kind of interspersed music throughout your 5 years because I'm assuming you must have a love for music, but also Asaph has a love for music.
Yeah.
So you're kind of including music in your story here, Bible hymns.
Yes.
And then Ariel, year two, praise. You mentioned praise.
Following what happened in the first few experiences we had, I mean, his name and what followed along, we decided to praise God throughout the circumstances. When things are not doing well, when we don't understand what to do or where to go, we would praise him. We know that when we praise the Lord, we can do many things on our own, but when we praise him, his throne comes down and calms our fears and gives us
his
peace.
That's a great way to define it.
Yeah, so as we did so, we felt peace within ourselves. And we know that he is, you mentioned that earlier, he is fearfully and wonderfully made by God. No matter what is going on, God has a plan and a purpose for him. And we continue to ask him to open our eyes so we can see what could be those purposes for him, or purposes that are not only for him, but also for us as a family and how we can either lead the way to others or many different directions as the Lord would lead us.
And then, you know, Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to have given you expected end." You know, a lot of families, I would imagine, I can only make assumptions, not having a special needs child in my own family or growing up with a child, but I can assume, I think, pretty safely, a lot of families are looking on the why would God do this to a scenario where it should be Christians recognizing God doesn't do anything evil.
No.
God doesn't create anything evil.
No.
Even Satan, when he was created, wasn't evil. No. Satan chose evil. Adam and Eve weren't created evil. They chose evil.
Yes.
God creates things of beauty. And it's our choices that can taint the beautiful things that God created.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of families are tainting God's gift of beauty, mm-hmm. of a special needs child by not seeing that child as a gift, mm-hmm. not seeing that God has only good things planned for these families with exactly. special needs children. Yeah. They see it as a burden and therefore are tainting God's gift.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. But we can see it on a daily basis. We have chosen. And that is the thing about praising God. We choose to do so. It is not that it comes naturally, but we choose to praise Him. And even doing the dirty things that parents would have to
sure.
do. Even, I mean, he is going to be 6 and he is heavy. He eats well.
That's good. Those are good things. But with that comes the opposite side of eating, right?
Yeah. But he is still in his diapers.
Yeah.
I have to say that. That's part of it.
Sure.
And we don't know until when this is going to go away. I mean, for me personally, I said, God, thank you, because he can do so.
Mm.
He can have a normal
he
bowel movement.
The food, yes.
Because some kids cannot, mm. and they are. I mean, I remember once I was.
They did talk about putting tube for him when he couldn't chew, and he's like, "No way."
Mm. Yeah, I was at Yale Hospital, and I was sitting with next to a boy, probably he was 10 or 12, in his wheelchair, and the only thing that he could use was his right, some of his fingers in the right hand.
Mm-hmm.
The head was. Stationary, and all the rest of the body could not do anything.
Mm.
I could barely imagine what that mother was going through taking care of this child. I felt like saying, God, thank you for the gift that you have given me. But at the same time, instead of saying this about our son, I said, God, have mercy. Have mercy on that lady, because she has so much to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we can praise him no
yeah.
matter what yeah. is going, even yeah. doing the dirty things. God is good.
You know, Ariel, Isaiah 40, verse 31, talking about the Lord saying he'll renew our strength, right? Mount up with feeble wings as eagles.
Okay.
And I believe God offers that renewed strength. You know, what the parents with children without special needs need renewed strength
yes.
daily.
Parents
with children of special needs need renewed strength daily. Yes,
mm-hmm.
some children require more of parents than other children,
mm-hmm.
special needs or not,
mm-hmm.
but we all need to turn to God for his renewed strength, and God provides that to us.
Absolutely.
On a daily basis,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And going back,
year three.
The joy of the Lord is my strength. So,
and that's Nehemiah. 8
yes.
verse 10.
Yes.
Yes.
And he started singing, humming that song.
And you actually titled year three is happiness. That's
happiness.
Your title for year three for your folks. How you
yes.
kind of look back on that year?
We look back and see, okay, we are not certain about things. We started praising God since he passed the first year, even though we are not sure where we were. But year three, I titled it happiness, because now I could see him being happy. Like,
mm.
not only he could express it through song, he starts saying, he could not say all the words of the song.
I see I've got the joy. Did you try to sing that song?
Yeah.
He does.
Down in my heart, where? And then he would, like, you could see him, and I said, Lord, thank you for helping him, teaching me
yeah.
to have your joy. Because sometimes as Christian, we just, like, go out our lives, we're busy, we're doing stuff, and he would stop. I'm cooking, I'm doing something, and I could hear him. And I'm like, he's happy.
Mm.
So why am I groaning about it?
And that happiness is
contagious.
Is it not? It's contagious.
Exactly.
Contagious.
Isn't it interesting how your family specifically, again, we can't say this would be the story for everyone, but your family, you didn't really receive that overflowing happiness year three until year two you decided to praise.
Mm.
When you decided to praise God, no matter the difficulties that he's allowed mm-hmm. in your life, then God said, now you got it right. Now I'm going to give you happiness
yes.
through the difficulties
yes.
Absolutely.
Of your life.
Yes.
Yeah. Because he, as many kids, especially Down syndrome, they don't do things on a regular calendar.
Timeline.
Yeah. Timeline.
Timeline, sure.
So he was 18 months when I think he has his first tooth.
Oh, really? Okay.
And he was almost 2 years old when he started trying to make the first step.
Mm-hmm.
And so by three, when we had to send him start doing the preschool things,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
and he could sing and start humming. I'm like, oh, Lord, thank mm-hmm. you, thank
Amen.
You, thank you.
Mm-hmm. And then, Ariel, we get to year four, and that's love and hugs is what you have titled that year.
Yeah. The verse we have with that is, behold, children are a heritage
Amen.
From the Lord.
the fruit of the womb reward, Psalm 127, verse 3. What we have seen in him is the fact that since then he has been trying to hug everybody.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. He loves, I mean, hug.
Hug.
Yeah. He doesn't say high five or shake. He's hugging everyone.
Hug. He wants to hug. And some of the kids would not understand, actually, the way he says it. I mean, they don't understand what he's saying,
sure.
But he is expressing, opening his arms. So they're wondering, what is that? But
These are kids at church, or just kids that he needs.
Exactly. And sometimes he would squeeze them.
Yeah.
And he loves from the bottom of his heart, and he wants a hug.
Hmm.
And he does to everyone. He does to the kids. The teachers express the...
Real quick. Is either of your love language physical touch? Are either of you... Do you know the five love languages?
Yes.
Are you physical touch?
Physical touch, yes.
And so you have, God has given you a son. You have a never-ending supply of love through this son. He will love you the way you love to be loved, which is us.
Right.
You know, a lot of us, our kids grow up, they're not going to, I mean, my daughter's my oldest one, sixth grade, and she already doesn't like hugging because of her personality.
Yeah.
My others will, you know, cease to hug me. But you have your son will hug you till the day you pass from this life to the next.
All the times, yes. I personally love that all the times. And, I mean, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Some will stay away from that. But there are many things that come. I mean, I said it is a package in disguise, and the Lord has given us.
Package in disguise.
Yes, mm-hmm. Yes.
A blessing.
Blessing.
A package of blessings.
Blessings in disguise, correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so then we get Yurina to year five, and now I love this title, confidence. You're in a place of confidence.
Confidence in Christ. So we did that last year with our church, and actually we sang... That was our worship session.
Is this what you gave your church? This page you gave your church?
Not this public.
No, we sang all the
songs. All the songs
all the
that
hymns.
Mean something to you, yes.
Yes. And we actually say something.
And you have your trust and obey. And then your last song, It Is Well With My Soul.
Yes.
Correct.
He can sing both songs.
He loves them. And those two are his favorite songs
are
to
they?
Sing.
Yes.
He knows all the words. Can sing them through? At least
the
first verse?
For himself, he will. We would not understand all the words, but he says it on his own.
You could hear it as well.
Amen.
Soul.
Amen.
Well,
amen.
Soul.
Now, can you get a little deeper on your brain on this confidence? What does that mean for you? Is it confidence only in Christ? Confidence in the future that Christ has for you? Confidence that his plan is good for you? All of the above? What do you mean when
it's
you say
actually
confidence?
All the above. Because as a mother... As a human being, you're still praying and say, Lord, make him perfect.
Mm.
Lord, make him speak clearly.
Help him swallow. Help him,
him swallow.
Yes.
So last year, God get me to a point where I said, Lord, I'm just going to trust you no matter what.
Amen.
And I'm confident if he lives like that for his whole life, he can't. True, I'm still going to praise you. And...
Mm-hmm.
So he gave me such a peace about it that I didn't have before. It's like I even get in front of the church. I had other family members, not family members, other family,
church family, mm-hmm.
who came afterwards crying.
Mm-hmm.
They, I think two ladies, one of them still have a son in Jamaica who's a special need kids, and the other one lost actually a baby with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
They never shared that with anyone. And
by sharing your story, that encouraged them.
And they were open, and they just like, thank you for blessing us. And it's like we always feel, I don't want the world to know what I know. So God touched me in that way where I felt like I need to share it with the Lord. And that's why last Sunday when you asked us, and I looked at him and I said, so that's what you were telling me last year. I know you have plans for us. I just don't see it yet.
Yeah.
And I know when we can.
You know, God has actually been laying on my heart for some time. I've been meeting with so many folks with roundtables.
Yeah.
I had on my heart to have this conversation with you. I just didn't get around to it. And then we were talking, and God said, ask him now. Stop waiting, Russ. Just ask him. So there you guys were. I said, hey, are you willing? And we were able to make it happen. Here we are. But Pastor Errol, you said you wanted to finish, and I'd love to wrap up the conversation with this. The church's response, the church's encouragement, the church's calling
mm-hmm.
to families with special needs children.
Mm.
I believe that some parents for themselves may be in denial of the fact that their child may have some issues.
Mm-hmm.
they are dealing with a lot at home, and when they come to church, they are facing the same things. If the church does not have a family with special need, don't worry about that. Probably if some preparation can...
What preparation could be done if it's with a family with special needs comes in?
Being informed about what it means to have a child with special needs. A lot of information is available about that from different websites, and health department can help about this. They offered for us while we were, a child was young, to go to family group meetings that they had for parents with special needs.
Support group.
Support group. Mm-hmm. We have the opportunity to go to those because of our schedule. But what the church can do would be to establish a ministry like that to relieve the parents.
So parents can come worship and know that someone's watching their children.
Exactly. I mean, one of the challenges that we face, knowing that our child cannot drink water, we don't dare giving, they are giving him to somebody, say, watch over him for us, because they may think that he is of age to eat or to drink, and they'll give him something, and we will not find our child on our way back. So we tend to stay and try to cover our child a lot more than it is needed. So having some parents, people who are prepared to know what parents with special needs are facing, and then one evening say, I'm going to take care of your child. Give me some instructions about what you would want me to be. Because maybe those parents, father and mother, may have never had someone that they could trust. And you take or watch the child and let them go out for a visit somewhere or a date night.
Would you admit, though, that for a lot of parents, that requires a lot of trust.
It does.
Someone who does not have a special needs child to watch your special needs child.
But that would have to start with somebody with a strong desire from the church to start that ministry. And that
to
must
be informed so they can earn the trust.
Be informed first. And that will go on from their interaction with the child. If one sees, I have my child, if I see somebody who is touching him and is afraid of him, does not know, wondering if
your son's trying to hug them and they're trying to back away.
They are wondering if he is normal or not. That person would not meet the requirements for him to leave my child. But if that person is loving and wants to be a blessing to that child, not only to the child, but also to us, and wants to talk to us. And sometimes just asking those people or people with special needs kids, how may I help you? Many things may come in that out of that conversation. Mm-hmm. So asking and the
kids may not behave as other kids, so that you have to know. They may scream, they may do things differently, but as fellow believers, you know, if you're already aware that kids have issue, just don't turn and look at the parents like
something wrong with the family or
sometimes people look at you, they don't say it, but you know, they like take your child away, and that will break the heart. Some families, they just stop going to church because no one will accept the way the kids. Just think, I do believe they are praising God. Like my son, he can't say everything, but certain times when we're singing in church, he would raise his hands when we're worshiping, and he does things that show you, even though we can't understand everything, but he is praising God, maybe different than we are. And we were blessed, actually, in our church.
And your church accepts your son. He's now worshiping in the service with your family. Your boys must be sitting with you, even in your boys, and the church accepts this.
They are part of many different parts, like Sebastian is part of the audiovisual ministry, and Ender is playing the organ. So we don't always.
I love your philosophy, Ariel. Let's train these boys. Yeah, what do these boys need to know?
But I believe that beyond what we have said, the people must be informed about the situation of that family, so that. And I like Paul. I don't remember exactly the passage now. Is it in Galatians where he said, "Make room in your heart for me," and he says that in Corinthians as well, so that the church will make room in their heart for this family.
Yeah.
So being a little bit more tolerant to where these children or those family would slack, because the child may be sitting, making some noise. The mother or father may be trying to listen to what's going on. They want to be part of it. Otherwise, what happens? And my wife mentioned the fact that they would stop going to church.
Yeah.
They are in church, and since they are making noise, we take them out.
Yeah.
And when we take them out, because they don't want to be to disturb the service, and once they take them out, they have to stay away, and no one else can watch the child. So what's the whole point of coming to church? I stay home, and that would lead to isolation.
Sure.
And so that's why this all kinds of issues. So that's why I think that the church must be open, have an open mind to that.
That is a big challenge, Ariel. That's not one that churches, any church, local church, should take lightly. But what a what a great reminder.
And I'm not saying that my church is there, everyone, because we have other children with special needs, and some parents at times would say that, do something about that. Why don't we do something?
And we do. Like, if my son is really disturbing, like, he gets a little
excited.
And I would take him, because I used to do the children's church, but since that COVID-19 takes over, no, parents, everyone's like, sit with the children now. But I would. I would take him and go somewhere else with him. You can do that. I don't think that's something, you know.
But then does that parent feel accepted when they come back? Does the church ostracize the family? Is there love for that parent and that child? The parent's more likely to do what they have to do and come back. But if they don't feel love, they're just going to walk away.
Yeah. I think being open to the family and have an open conversation with them, like I have had with some families with kids with special needs, they feel that you sympathize with their situation and you're looking for opportunities. Like, let's say that the child is making noise in the service. Mm-hmm. Can the church have, like, a projector or a screen in the room where the nursery is?
Sure.
So
where they can still watch.
They can still be part of the service, even from a distance.
Yeah.
I think those are, and reaching out to them as much as possible.
We have special chairs. We have those high chair with straps for
for
our son. When he will sit, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen every time, but lately, as he's getting a little older, it's time to pray. We show him the sign to pray. He put his hands.
Mm-hmm.
He loves to pray. He wakes up. The bigger boys say, time to pray.
Yeah.
Because we do our devotion early in the morning,
sure.
by 5:30, 6 o'clock. And so we could see he's learning, but what the Lord has for him, that's in God's hands.
Amen.
That's God's hands,
So for those families with special needs children, there is a God who loves your child very much. There is a God who has a plan for that child.
Mm-hmm.
And what we as humanity might see as a mistake, what a shame, because God doesn't make mistakes.
No.
He doesn't.
And if God has created your child, you can be sure your child is not a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
And that hardship that we go through, special needs or just children in general, is not due to the sin of an individual.
No.
The world is cursed, and there are hardships we will go through because of the curse of the world. But as we saw in the book of John, oftentimes God does things outside of the normal.
Amen.
To bring glory to him.
And as you were saying that, I thought of that verse as the last one. I would actually two of them. We mentioned James earlier that says, every good and perfect gift is from above.
Amen.
And Proverbs 16:4 that says, the Lord has made everything for a purpose.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much, Ariel
thank
and Yubrina.
You
what
us.
A blessed time I had tonight. That was a fantastic conversation. I definitely learned a lot tonight myself. I hope our viewers and listeners also learned a lot and have started the path of being informed.
Yes.
So when God brings families into our lives with special needs, we can already be aware and be helpful and encouraging to them. If you don't mind, I'd like to tag your church in our Facebook page and your pastor's profile specifically. And if someone has some questions locally, maybe not familiar with Focus on the Family, they can reach out to you through Facebook Messenger and reach out to a family here located in Connecticut.
Mm-hmm.
And where's your church? What town?
It is in Bridgeport.
Bridgeport, okay.
Stilliman Memorial Baptist Church.
All right, Bridgeport, Connecticut.
Correct.
So we're going to tag your church with your profile. They can connect to your church through that way and reach out to you if they have any questions. And we hope you'll join us next Sunday night. I'm bringing back a guest, Pastor Walsh, Pastor Jeff Walsh. His wife, Bethany, is going to be joining us as well.
Mm.
We're going to have a conversation, continuing this conversation with children, but we're going to have a conversation about technology and the effects that technology has on children. the addictive side of it, the dangers of technology, whether it's TV, whether it's games or cell phone usage and a variety of things, internet. So that conversation is a very needed one. Look forward to having it. I know you guys are friends with the Walses as well.
We are.
They're a great family. So we're going to bring them back, have that conversation next Sunday night. Hope you can join us. If you have children in your life, whether they are your children or your nieces or nephews or grandchildren, and at some point you watch over them, then this is a conversation you don't want to miss next Sunday night. Have a great night, folks. We love you.